From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for, it's already July 28th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour two of two with a goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Folks, we've got a lot to cover today, very little time to get it done, and I apologize, I'm on the phone right now, but we're having to pack up and travel on. It's a little bit crazy as we travel. I'm attending a huge personal family reunion, and I'll get into the details of that in another broadcast. But anyway, it's really, really neat stuff that we're doing as a family. It's exciting to behold and to be involved in. And so God, family, and country is what it's all about on the radio, right? So we're serious about it every day, 24/7. Feel like the Beatles almost. It's 8 days a week for us people when it comes to God, family, and country. I'll tell you that right now. All right, without further ado, we have a guest. James Edwards will be with us here in a minute. But first, I'm going to play a long, it's about an 8-minute soundbite from Ben Swan. Why am I playing this soundbite? Because Ben Swan, along with another news service, I want you to listen to the name of the news service. I've known about them for quite some time. They're reputable. Their research is stellar, etc. But the two of these people have put together a real detailed expose on, in my opinion, criminal activity. That's just my opinion, to which I'm entitled. But the CIA, the FBI, the Department of Defense, along with other government agencies, are absolutely controlling Meta. Now, we've documented the founding of Google, et cetera, that's now turned into Meta. We've documented the CIA founding and funding of those organizations, but they're controlling all social media today. Literally, CIA, FBI, Pentagon, Department of Defense agents. Listen to this report, and then we'll talk about it with James Edwards.
For years, Facebook and Instagram have been purging content creators and removing content that it deems harmful, despite the fact that so much of that content has now been proven to be accurate. So who specifically is responsible? Well, a new investigation finds that Meta's content policy is being controlled by dozens of former CIA agents. In fact, the report finds it's harder to find someone who did not at one time work at the CIA than to find someone who did. So what does that mean for content online? It's an incredible story, and there is so much more to it. I'm Ben Swan. This is Truth in Media. Hey guys, welcome to the show. So much to get to today as we are breaking down an investigation that really has found dozens of former, and let's face it, possibly current CIA agents are actually the ones in control of Meta's content policy, Meta being the parent company of Facebook and Instagram. We're also going to tell you about a secret army of some 60,000 government agents whose job it is to manipulate social media online. All of that in just a minute. But before we do, a shout out to our partner for this episode, Create Tailwind and createtailwind.com. If you want to get control of your financial destiny, you've got to talk to the guys at Create Tailwind today. Jim Oliver and Bob Burnett will teach you the secrets of infinite banking and how the velocity of money, that's what it's called, can help you to bank on yourself in ways that wealthy individuals and Fortune 500 companies do every day. Create Tailwind is more than just a partner. Jim and Bob are helping me to establish my own infinite banking system, and they can do the same for you. Talk to them today at createtailwind.com. All right, so back to this story, because it truly is an incredible story here. Mint Press News has conducted a remarkable investigation into the content moderators over at Meta. Again, specifically, we're talking about the companies Facebook and Instagram. And what they found is an incredible number of former CIA agents and FBI agents who now run the company's content moderation. People like Aaron Berman, who was at one time a highly influential part of the CIA, at one time, in fact, preparing and editing the president's daily intelligence brief. He was in that role until 2019 when he left the CIA to join Facebook. Well, now Aaron talks about the difficulty that he has in moderating content. Listen to this.
How do we think about the balance between harmful content and protecting freedom of speech? It's a balance.
Does it ever make you feel uncomfortable to be put in a position where you're having to draw the lines?
Yes, and I think it should make me uncomfortable and all of us who do this work.
Yeah, I'm not sure it really makes Aaron all that uncomfortable. Again, he spent 15 years working for the Central Intelligence Agency, an agency that has been charged with overthrowing and attempting to overthrow numerous foreign governments, by the way, some of which are democratically elected by the people of those countries, helping prominent Nazis escape punishment after World War II, funneling large quantities of drugs and weapons around the world, including into our own country, penetrating domestic media outlets, routinely spreading false information, and operating a global network of black site prisons where prisoners are repeatedly tortured, spying on members of the U.S. Congress and their staff who were investigating CIA torture. And we could go on and on and on. We won't. But what does go on and on and on are the numbers of Meta and Facebook employees who at one time, possibly still, work for the CIA. There are a number of other ex-CIA agents besides Aaron Berman working in these fields. Deborah Berman, for example, spent 10 years as a data and intelligence analyst at the CIA before recently being brought on as a trust and safety project manager for Meta. Between 2006 and 2010, Brian Weisbart was a CIA intelligence officer, his job entailing, in his own words, quote, leading global teams to conduct counterterrorism and digital cyber investigations, end quote, and identifying online social media misinformation, propaganda, and covert influence campaigns. He is currently a director of trust and safety, security, and data privacy, again, for Meta. Well, meanwhile, the LinkedIn profile of Cameron Harris, a CIA analyst until 2019, notes that he is now a Meta trust and safety project manager. MemPress has found that Facebook has recruited dozens of individuals from the CIA, as well as many more from other agencies like the FBI and the Department of Defense, the DOD. These hires are primarily in highly politically sensitive sectors such as trust, security, and content moderation, to the point where some might feel it becomes difficult to see where the U.S. national security state ends and Facebook begins. But it's not just former CIA who were calling the shots at Meta. Emily Vatcher was an FBI employee between 2001 and 2011, rising to the rank of supervisory special agent. From there, she was headhunted by Facebook/Meta and is now a director of trust and safety. Between 2010 and 2020, Mike Brado, who worked for USAID, eventually becoming deputy director for policy of that organization. USAID is the U.S. government-funded influence organization, which has bankrolled and staged multiple regime change operations abroad, including in Venezuela in 2002, in Cuba in 2021, and the ongoing attempts in Nicaragua. Since 2020, Meta has employed Bradow as a misinformation policy manager. And there is more, because while all these employees of Meta are all former professional intelligence agents, it is now well established that the Pentagon fields a clandestine army of at least 60,000 people. Yes, 60,000 people whose job it is to influence public opinion, the majority of them doing so from behind a keyboard. In fact, a Newsweek expose from last year called it, quote, the largest undercover force the world has ever known. Adding this, quote, the newest and fastest growing group is the clandestine army that never leaves their keyboards. These are the cutting-edge cyber fighters and intelligence collectors who assume false personas online, employing non-attribution and misattribution techniques to hide the who and the where of their online presence while they search for high-value targets and collect what is called publicly accessible information or even engage in campaigns to influence and manipulate social media. Hundreds work in and for the NSA, but over the past 5 years, every military agency and special operations unit has developed some kind of web operations cell that both collects intelligence and tends to the operational security of its very activities. As The Guardian points out, as far back as 2011, so 11 years ago, this clandestine group has been, quote, secretly manipulating social media sites by using fake online personas to influence internet conversations and spread pro-American propaganda, end quote. But here's the main point. The ex-military and ex-CIA officials that Facebook now employs do not seem to have found one single trace of their former colleagues' work on the platform. That's right. Think about that. A force of 60,000 agents who are working every day to influence social media platforms online, and yet their former colleagues, if we are to believe that, from the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, and USAID, haven't found them. Haven't been able to catch any of their so-called inauthentic behavior. Why is that? Well, the answer is obvious. Because they're not former colleagues at all. They are, in fact, nothing more than current intelligence agents working in plain sight and plain view of the public. And no mainstream journalists and no elected officials really seem to care. Thanks for watching. Be sure to check out all of our videos at our social media platform, sovereign.media, where there are, by the way, no CIA agents performing content moderation. Also, if you're not getting our reports because we are so heavily censored by those content moderators on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, send me a text to the number on your screen. We will send our reports directly to your mobile device every time they come out. It is the best way to get around social media.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, hang tight, quick pause, straight to the hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use with James Edwards alongside for the ride in seconds on your radio.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, back live on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, James Edwards, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Sam, it's great to be back with you. I hope you have a wonderful family reunion, and thanks for having me outside of our designated times that I'm normally on. I know we had a couple of whiffs on my part earlier in the month, so it's great to make amends today.
Thinking of this Ben Swan report, this is shattering information. I'm not really surprised, James, but nevertheless, it's shattering information that they literally have 60,000 plus media manipulators. The propaganda continues like you wouldn't believe. The manipulation of the media, the propaganda that we see We wondered why it was so extreme, why it was so in your face, how they were doing it. Now we have the intel, background information. I think it's criminal, James.
Yes, well, I've got a lot of takes on this. Number one, I guess I can finally know who to blame for all of my deplatforming and censorship over the years. I mean, long before it was happening to a lot of these conservative talkers, people like yours truly were suffering this. PayPal banned me back in 2006, banned from Facebook. That's what we're talking about here right now. All the way back in 2008, which was many, many, many years before it became so ubiquitous and prolific throughout war establishment conservatism. But this revelation that CIA agents are the ones that are informing Meta's content policy, 60,000 strong phalanx going out and manipulating these things with Facebook and Instagram, they are the ones behind the censorship and the deplatforming to a large degree, manipulating free speech, manipulating the way news and opinions are shared by the American people in this so-called free country of ours. You know, so much of what the enemy says about our people, or people who would have at least somewhat overlapping opinions with that of our own. Let's talk about the people who were up at January 6th, for instance. This whole thing that they're the ones that are subverting our institutions. No, I don't think so. It's actually these people, the ones who are blaming those like us, who are the ones that are subverting our institutions. And this is very much a silver bullet. I had not heard this before. But, of course, it's not just Facebook and Instagram. At least I had not heard it to this extent with this much backing evidence. Across the board, though, with social media and with internet banking and credit card processing, you are running into where God, family, and Republic-type people are getting blocked and getting banned and not being able to use platforms to do business and share information because, well, really, just because they have a dissenting point of view. That's why what you played in the first hour was so refreshing to me. I hope that they can hold the line and that what's going on with companies like Revere Payments is the real deal. But yeah, I mean, government agents working with social media companies to stifle freedom of speech and to censor, ban, and silent dissenting voices is, you know, that's a lot different, Sam, than what at least I had always assumed was going on at these companies like Twitter and others, where you just had a bunch of woke college students, you know, a bunch of speech-hating leftist interns that were sitting there behind their computers clicking a mouse, banning people with whom they disagreed. It's a lot different when you have government agents, or at least former government agents, doing this, and it's not just employees with a bias doing so. So, yeah, I don't guess we should be surprised, but I'll tell you one bit of news that is tangentially related to this story, and I do support the sentiment here. I don't know if it could be competently executed, but Donald Trump, as he plans his 2024 revenge tour, now we remember Donald Trump, I know, fool me once, fool me twice, fool me three times, but he's hitting on something here. If there's always a difference between what he says and what he's actually able to do or what he actually follows up on. But to your point here and to the point of this hour, this conversation, this news story just came out last week, reads, former President Trump's top allies are preparing to radically reshape the federal government if he is reelected, talking about a third run in 2024. Purging potentially thousands of civil servants and filling career posts with loyalists to him and his America First ideology. The impact, this is where it gets important to our story here, the impact could go well beyond typical conservative targets such as the Environmental Protection Agency and the Internal Revenue Service. Trump allies are working on plans, allegedly, that would strip layers at the Department of Justice, including the FBI, and reaching into national security intelligence, the State Department, and the Pentagon, sources close to the former president say. So, I mean, what you're talking about here is the so-called intelligence community perhaps not being abolished, but certainly being pared down by the tunes of thousands of these people. Well, I guess they can just go to Facebook and get a job, but sources close to the president, the former president, say that he will, as a matter of top priority, go after the national security apparatus, clean house in the intelligence community and the State Department, target the woke generals of the Defense Department, and remove top layers of the Justice Department and the FBI. I don't know if that'll happen, but it certainly sounds like it would be well-deserved, Sam.
It would be well-deserved without question. It'll be necessary for the survival of the Republic. There's no question. But I think of the locker up phrase that was used. And Donald said,
right.
Hey, quit bothering my friend Hillary. Just leave her alone. When he was asked about George Soros as well, he said, look, leave my buddy George alone. He hasn't done anything to you. So we know that Donald's an insider, and I don't believe Donald will accomplish the task at all. I wish that he would, and I know conservatives always want to hang on the latest wishful thinking propaganda. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, under Donald Trump, in my opinion, the greatest fraud America's ever known has taken place. That is, we create a bioweapon called coronavirus. We literally unleash it through the Communist Chinese Party on the people. We create a fast track or an Operation Warp Speed vaccination program and literally vaccinate the whole world in an experimental scenario, pretending that it's a vaccine when it's really nothing more than a bioweapon itself. So you've got a bioweapon in the disease, manufactured, manipulated, weaponized in a lab, released intentionally on the world, and then you've got the quote anecdote, the vaccination, as another bioweapon. An mRNA vaccine is what they call it, but it's really a gene therapy program, an experimental gene therapy program. And this was all unleashed and all done under Donald Trump. The greatest lockdown in American history, the greatest violation of your rights as Americans, not just stopping or affecting the sick, even the healthy were locked down. As close to, listen to me carefully, as close to a deep state martial law as we've ever seen in this country on a mass scale. It affected your business. It affected your livelihood. It affected your children's education. Now you could say, well, Donald didn't do all the lockdowns. The governors did. Yes, but they had to do it to get money from the feds. It was all driven by this agenda, and it was all under the Donald watch, ladies and gentlemen. So I submit to you that if you elect Donald Trump again, you will elect the next phase in the reset plan around the world, James.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard to say, Sam. I mean, of course, we all like a lot of the rhetoric that we got out of Trump. I think Trump's greatest gift to the American people and to humanity has been eviscerating the trust in these corrupt institutions. Because of Donald Trump, largely because of Trump, you have tens of millions of people now who are thinking differently than they did in 2015 with regards to their trust of the media, which is at almost 0%. And even now they are questioning whether or not in this country, in the land of the free and the home of the brave, we have accurate elections. I mean, this is very good that people are thinking this way. And now, I mean, it's gotten so far, and we've been talking about this on my program, you've got 75% of Trump voters, which is 60 million people, at least according to the official count, 75% of those 60 million believe that there is a great replacement going on, which there is. The majority of Republicans are now believing their state would be better off if they seceded. And we could go on and on and on with polls like this. All right, so Trump, in large part, did that, and that's a good thing. Now, was he always part of the program? You say yes. I say I'm not sure. I don't know if it really matters, because at least the message he got out was able to force the sea change within the Republican base that we're experiencing, that I think is going to have dividends for us down the line that are far bigger and better than Trump. I do think that he is probably opposed to these people. I think at least he doesn't get along with them. And by that, I mean, you know, was he part of the program? You might say yes. I say I don't know. But I do think that he is antagonized
have
by them.
Ever,
I think he would want
James,
to oppose them.
Have we ever
them.
Experienced such a tyrannical lockdown in the history of the country?
Yeah, but this is the point I was going to make about that, and to that point directly. What was Trump's position on that? I mean, certainly it appeared as though he was pushing back on that. And then you have to ask yourself the question, how much power does one man have against the entire system? You know, that's a question. I mean, was he just bulldozed by the entirety
it's a fair
of
point
the
as well? It's a fair question and a fair point from James Edwards, no doubt about it. Hang tight, we've got a whole lot more where this game comes. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
We do have breaking news this hour. The United States is in a recession as the gross domestic product contracts nearly 1% for the second consecutive quarter, decreasing 1.6% annually. Viktor Bout, a Russian arms dealer known as the Merchant of Death, whose weapons created deadly conflicts around the world, could be sent back to Russia in exchange for basketball player Brittany Griner and retired U.S. Marine Paul Whelan. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
I plan to raise an issue that's a top priority for us, the release of Americans Paul Whelan and Brittany Griner.
As Senator Grassley is accusing the FBI and Department of Justice of misleading the American people on the Biden laptop, the device has now revealed President Biden met with at least 14 of Hunter Biden's business associates while he was vice president in the Obama White House. USA Radio News.
Guys, what's the first thing you notice when you look at a photo of yourself? If you said your receding hairline or bald spot, Keeps can help you change that. Keeps has clinically proven FDA-approved hair treatments available online. Whether you're looking to prevent hair loss, stimulate hair growth, or take care of the hair you have, your Keeps physician will help you select the right products and develop a personalized hair-saving routine that works for you. It's easy. No waiting rooms or pharmacy visits. Keeps is delivered straight to your door at about half the cost. Half the cost. And if you have questions, you can message your Keeps doctor 24/7. If those balding jokes are wearing thin, join thousands of guys who have saved their hair. Visit Keeps.com/Doug Steffen for 50% off your first order. That's KEEPS.com/Doug Steffen. Keeps.com/Doug Steffen.
New York wants to add a tax to drivers that choose specific traffic routes.
New York is slowly but surely going towards becoming the first U.S. city to charge motorists an extra fee for entering its most congested areas. The Metropolitan Transportation Authority said a long-delayed environmental assessment should be released by federal regulators next month to be followed by a public hearing.
If you are a New Yorker who has been late for work because your train was not on time, you need congestion pricing.
The goal of congestion pricing is to encourage more people to take public transportation to cut down on traffic, while also directing extra revenue toward making much-needed repairs to the transit system. For the USA Radio News Los Angeles Bureau, I'm Ellie Andrews.
We are USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. I'll tell you what, crazy stuff going on. I hope I don't get cut off in the elevator, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see if that happens. In the meantime, James Edwards with me, though, and we're talking about this serious, serious issue about the CIA, the FBI, the Pentagon, the DOD, literally all controlling social media. Is that happening, ladies and gentlemen? Is it all true? The documentation is overwhelming. James, let's go back to this for a second. What do we do if this is true? Do we just start arresting criminals?
See, that's the thing about it. And to go back to Trump, I don't think, you know, he certainly hasn't demonstrated. I love what he says when he defends Robert E. Lee. He does is to say these things that, of course, the system hates and that no other president would say. But does he actually have not just the courage, but even the ability to to actually go out and do what needs to be done, and that's arresting you know, true traitors, not the old ladies with granny packs that walked in at the invitation of law enforcement on January 6th and toured the building for an hour or two. Those aren't the ones that are the insurrectionists. Those aren't the traitors. You know, so you're really going to have a guy that will go in and actually start arresting people in our government and in our law enforcement agencies and doing what needs to be done. I don't think he has it in him. It does need to be done. And that's why I think, Sam, that we may be too far. We may be beyond repair for restoring the Constitution as we would have hoped to have been able to do. I think the rot in certain sectors and in certain institutions and in certain places like the Acela Corridor and the Left Coast is these people are too far gone. Now, you do have a heartbeat in America. You have the South. You have the Mountain West. You have the Midwest. You have real America, the heartland. And I think my biggest interest in Trump is in his reelection. I actually talked about this because I've gone back and forth over the years from just being put out by him and disappointed to the point where I don't ever want to hear his name again to like, you know, hey, at least this guy is further exacerbating the divide. I think at this point there is going to have to be a divorce. I think you don't just have multiculturalism, which is hard enough to reconcile. You really do have at least two different countries, and it's very hard to get people with such diametrically opposing beliefs and cultures and backgrounds under one roof to work cohesively under a government. So I think if Trump did run, it would just further alienate the people who are behind all of the things that we're talking about here and hopefully drive a wedge to the point where this whole show breaks up. I think Christians in America would be better off with a weakened America. I think the world would be better off with a weakened America. And I think that's what, in my opinion, now has to happen. You may disagree. And I think Trump's our best chance at continuing to do that. Because, certainly there has been no amelioration with Biden. It has continued to spread. Trump would make it spread further. And this happens throughout history, Sam. I mean, there is nothing magical about America that prevents it from being a nation state that becomes an empire that falls apart. I mean, you see it throughout history with many civilizations. In fact, it's not the exception. It's the rule. And I think the time has come. I think the rot is too deep. It's too deep rooted. I think it's a fat and bloated dying empire. And if Trump helps us push it over the edge and take it off the support, that'll be okay with me.
Do you see a situation where states will not cooperate with states? In other words, every state becomes, in a sense, an island or a country unto itself? And if so, what do you see America looking like in that scenario? We'll all be in poverty.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, if Alabama, just the state of Alabama, declared independence. Now, there's no evidence that this will happen. I mean, now, we did see at the Texas State GOP convention back in June that this is the state Republican Party of Texas. This is the biggest Republican Party in the country. This isn't the Republican Party of Rhode Island, where they're just also ran. They don't have any power. You have the state Republican Party of Texas put in their official platform. The delegates voted it in that they want secession to be on the ballot next year in the state of Texas. And then you have the majority of Trump voters saying that they personally and their states specifically would be better off with secession. So I don't know what secession looks like, but I do believe it's viable. I do believe it's viable, and I don't think we would be in poverty. I mean, the state of Alabama alone is the size of Austria, and nobody's saying that a nation like Austria can't be self-sufficient. If the South, if the old Confederacy with the few border states thrown in that are of very like mind with regards to the Christian faith and conservative values like Oklahoma and Kentucky and West Virginia, if they became their own independent nation, maybe you add in other states in the Mountain West that have very similar beliefs by and large. I mean, you're a superpower immediately. The only thing you're shedding is the weight of a handful of states that are bringing down the whole production. I don't know. I don't necessarily think
what you're shedding in my mind is you're all landlocked and you won't be able to get any products in or out of the country.
No, I mean, if you've got the old Confederacy, you've got Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, all of those
states. We just left from one state seceding or a state seceding in their own ways, not even agreeing to work together per se, to a scenario where now they're all in unison on this or whatever. I'm not so sure that all the states will even be in unison with one another.
Well, it's impossible to know how it would go. I mean, of course, it's all hypothetical right now. There's nothing firm on the table. It's just ideas, people saying, hey, maybe we would be better off. Yes, I just used Alabama as an example, although Alabama is a Gulf state, in saying that it's the size of Austria and perhaps even the population of Austria. So, it's certainly big enough to be a player. But obviously other states would want to go. I think if this party gets started, a lot of states are going to want to leave, because what you've got is a very small minority of people. And geographically speaking, just a very few number of states that are bringing the traditional America down.
Amen to that. And ladies and gentlemen, we can say that this is just a few ideas, and I agree that it is. James is right on that. However, I think we're a whole lot further down this road than most people might realize. You could have foreign nations call a halt to the con game of debt and claim certain sections of the United States. When it comes to Ocasio-Cortez and some of her ilk, communists and socialists in my mind, this is just my opinion to which I'm entitled, you know, they literally want to abolish the Supreme Court. Just imagine if they were able to abolish the court. You got basically 40% of Democrats alone that maybe have a positive view of the court. 63% have a negative view of the Supreme Court. If they abolished the Supreme Court tomorrow, what would the states do? If the states literally continue to be dictated to by Joe Biden with onerous, emergency is what Joe Biden's calling them, climate change discussions, locking states down to where, hey, you can't drive a car that's not a electric vehicle anymore. For example, California is going this way. If this got mandated on a national level by executive order and the Supreme Court literally was in jeopardy of being abolished, et cetera, you would instantly see that it's not just talk or just opinions or ideas. It would instantly form into something serious indeed. And sadly, I think we're on the brink of that in many, many ways, James, much further beyond what the average American thinks. Civil war might be a possibility. The states seceding from the union might be a possibility. Certain states, portions of the states want to leave. For example, they want Northern California to form a new state. A lot of people in Oregon want to have their counties leave the state of Oregon and join Colorado or join Idaho. These sound like remote possibilities, but I think they could instantly become reality if a few things changed that seem on the brink. It could be a different ballgame in a hurry. It could change from discussions and ideas and opinions and nothing real to something very serious, but very quickly, James.
And history has proven that that has been the case time and time again around the world. And I don't think there's anything that gives America immunity to that, particularly when you've got so many fault lines now that are only widening, so many things that divide us. Why would we want to be forced to live with people who hate us and want to see the traditional way of life? America had a really good run. And for a lot of years, there was so much prosperity that people just didn't mind what was going on within the institutions of power. And now, all of a sudden, you know, you compare this country in one lifetime, my father's lifetime, who was born in 1954, America's completely unrecognizable now compared to the country he was born into. And people are getting wise to that, and people are seeing the way this whole thing is going. I mean, especially now with critical race theory and transgenderism, I mean, it's gone from, okay, I disagree with this, but, you know, we'll agree to disagree, to the point where you've got now it's just very demonic. I mean, you're talking about not just a preference, but really your child's soul, their very eternal soul. And, you know, with institutions and government being anti-Christ, and it's not a matter of what we want. It's a matter of these things are going to happen. So we might as well begin to wrap our minds around some scenarios, because I think that the breakup is inevitable, because it's not just conservative versus liberal. It is Christian versus evil. And you have Marjorie Taylor Greene, Sam. I'm going to be talking about this for an hour. Well, I guess I'll tell you when we come back, just very quickly. I'm going to be talking about this for an hour. Marjorie Taylor Greene really shook up the establishment with the statement she made about Christian nationalism and how this would be a Christian nation. What does that mean?
We're going to do it. Details in seconds with James Edwards on your radio, ladies and gentlemen.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present day church. Rather, it is for the end time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
my brother and two other boys were the ones that got in the car with her. And she was drunk. The road that goes to her house is like really windy, and she was taking that road at 80 to 100 miles per hour and hit into the road barriers. Her door flung open. She ran out across the street to get away from it, and the other three boys were trapped in it, and the car exploded. And then when my mom found out about it, she called me at work. I don't care what you have to do, just get up here to the hospital. You know, I parked my car and I went inside. And they took us back to this little room. My mom told me that Jay had been killed. And I lost it. The other people, so they're like, well, you can drink, but just be careful when you drink, you know? So I don't want anything to do with it because it took my brother away from me.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
James Edwards, Sam Bushman, breaking things down, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want to see a secession. I don't want to see a weakening of America at all. I think America's a great country. I know we've got our problems, ladies and gentlemen, but I go back to the roots of our founding fathers. I realize most don't subscribe to that modern times because of the propaganda that we've experienced. Remember the CIA and the FBI and the Defense Department and all the enemies of liberty, unconstitutional agencies have been propagandizing Americans literally for our whole lives and longer. Operation, what do they call it? Mockingbird is what they used to call it. Now that has been solidified and confirmed to be not only reality, to be literally an everyday occurrence with an army of 60,000 keyboard warriors strong, all by your government peddling propaganda. It reminds me of the communist nation of China. It's so bad. But I still have a hope that we the people can gravitate towards Christian values. I still have a hope that we the people can bring us back from the brink peacefully. I know some would say, Sam, you're too naive. It's not reality. But I'll be the guy that wants to be the hopeful guy. I'll be the guy that wants to give America every opportunity for success possible. That's what this broadcast has been about for the last 25 years. If it must be that we separate in certain ways, and then the question becomes, you know what, how could it go down? How could we create a constitutional enclave or a constitutional readout, as Chuck Baldwin and many others have deemed it? How do we do that in a meaningful way? And you know, I don't know that we can hold on to the South and the Rocky Mountain states at the same time. Number one, those two groups are separated by a lot of miles. Secondarily, with the coasts all controlled by liberal states, the only friendly state we might have is Texas, but Texas oftentimes goes it alone anyway. So there's a lot of things to discuss in a reality sense, James.
Well, you'd have Mississippi, you'd have Alabama, you'd have South Carolina, North Carolina, you know, hypothetically as states. I mean, obviously Louisiana, Florida, these are all Republican states anyway. And, you know, yeah, I don't know. I mean, these states are under the United States apparatus right now, separated by the same number of miles it would be in a hypothetical secession scenario. And, of course, our very founding fathers seceded from Great Britain for reasons far less serious than what we're facing now. And that goes back to the war between the states. I mean, even that conflict really pales in comparison to the differences that this country is experiencing now. Even when it was North versus South, they still believed in God. They still had the same faith. They were still basically one people. They went to war over issues. But those issues, again, I think pale in comparison to the issues that that divide us now. And if our founding fathers could secede, and if righteous, upright Christians like Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson could secede, I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with secession. It just didn't work out. And sometimes that happens. And
well, you're right about that. The Declaration of Independence, in my opinion, before a candid world and before God Almighty himself, highlights not only the possibility or the authority, if you will, but even beyond that, the necessity from time to time to take serious direct action as well. So you're right about this, James. It's not a high, just a theory or a thought process or an idea. It can be reality. And you know what? You never know the time frame, what, when, where makes sense, how, right? It might be that we have to jettison some of these states because they're so extreme and so psychotic and so communist in their nature that we have to let them see what it's like to live on their own for a while. Maybe California becomes its own country and the rest of the, maybe California and New York and a couple of these states become their own countries and we stay the original country. You know, maybe there's
That's absolutely right, Sam. That's another thing. You typically think it's going to be the conservatives that break off, but what if the left broke off? What if they could no longer? I don't see that happening, but it certainly could. I mean, that's another reason why I think Trump makes for an interesting prospect in 24.
Well, maybe he sends them over there. Get rid of the Supreme Court. Let's just have New York get rid of their Supreme Court, and they're not part of it.
Well, that's absolutely right. But again, it comes down to what I was going to say before the break. You had Marjorie Taylor Greene, of course, the representative out of the state of Georgia in Congress, saying we need the Republican Party to be the party of nationalism. And I'm a Christian, and I say it proudly. We should be a Christian nationalist party. And, of course, the media has just lost its mind over this. They, of course, instantly equate Christian nationalism with white nationalism and white supremacy, and they, of course, muddy up the waters and put all of that together. But she's right. I mean, this is where we're at now. The system that we live under right now, the institutions and the federal government, to them, there is no God, and they don't want our kids believing in God. They don't want our kids revering their ancestors. Everything that made America what you love about it, Sam, and what I have loved about it in the past, they don't want. And when you've got differences that wide to where your eternal soul is on the table, you will spend an eternity in hell if you go along with their program. That's not something to trifle with. I think you've got to get away from that. But we'll see what happens. But yes, and Christian nationalism, by the way.
Our prayers are that we can hold the country together, that if those who want communism can embrace that, and they can take a couple of states with them and let them have that, by all means, let that be the reality check that we deal with, folks. And, hey, they're welcome to leave. They've been talking about leaving the country if Donald got elected the first time. They've been talking about leaving the country. Let them go ahead and just take whatever peace they need and leave. Let it be California or New York. They can start somewhere, that's for sure. Maybe if a group of them leave and realize what communism is really like, maybe the other groups will come to their senses and say, well, I think we are wrong. We got to have a course correction for sure. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on this ball, folks. It's not a topic that's going away anytime soon. It's a topic that continues to fester, and we will be at the forefront of it. Candid conversation like nobody's business. Nobody has the guts to take it on like we do. Final topic of the day with James Edwards. Now, there's a big announcement from Donald Trump. They act like it's a huge announcement. He's going to sue CNN. And so it's a big old announcement, but he's been talking about this since 2016. I think he talks about suing but never gets it done. People like James Edwards actually do sue. And then the court lies, and, that's kind of where we're at. But, James, I feel like nobody understands it better than you do. You have some advice for the Donald.
Prepare to lose, Mr. President. He will not win. You will not get justice in the system's courts, not the way they are structured right now, not with the political pressure that there would be to deliver judgment against the president. Imagine being the judge that ruled in favor of the president against the media, which is exactly what I ran up to. I actually had a slam dunk. I hate to keep bringing this up. I know we've talked about it a lot, so I'll give you the 60-second version. I had a slam dunk, unlosable libel lawsuit. The actual text in the restatement of torts, the legal definition of what constitutes libel is to claim that someone is a member of the Ku Klux Klan when, in fact, there is no record evidence to prove that they are. And not only did a major daily newspaper in this country allege that I was a member of the Ku Klux Klan, they said I was its leader. And so I talked to a lawyer in Michigan. He said, I really think we can win this one. This is the textbook definition of libel. Well, then we went to court and we got beat because they said, well, leader could have different words and different meanings. And he could be a thought leader, like somebody from the Klan could tune into his program and maybe agree with some of the things he says. And in that definition, he is the leader. So, yes, they have the right to publish that he's the leader of the Klan. Of course, when you read it, you don't think that this convoluted explanation. And so, you know, we ended up losing an unlosable case. And if you had a case that strong that you can't win, I don't think Donald Trump's going to win. I actually had another friend, Peter Brimelow of VDare.com, who sued the New York Times more recently. My lawsuit was in 2017. He sued the New York Times last year. He got ran out of court as well. And now the New York Times is coming back and countersuing him for sanctions, which means that, in their opinion, he brought a frivolous lawsuit against the New York Times, and now they're suing him for attorney's fees and court costs and who knows what else. So I don't know what will happen with that. Hopefully he won't have to be punished for trying to clear his name. They were calling him, I think, a white nationalist and a white supremacist and things like that, and he sued for that and lost, and now he's getting sued in return for all of his troubles. And I think that's probably far more likely to happen to the former president than him prevailing in court in a case like this against an enemy like that.
If he ever really has the guts to get the suit off the ground, he said he was going to take down the New York Times, that they wouldn't even exist. He said that he was going to sue everybody. He was going to take libel law and change it to where we could get lots of money, as he kind of said it.
That's right. Else,
but we've seen nothing of the sort. Nothing of the sort, James. At all. And now he's going to sue CNN. Now he's going to go ahead and get rid of all these government agencies. If you just elect the Donald one more time, people, one more time for the Donald, and he'll go ahead and fix your world. But you'll live in a freedom-loving country once again, right?
No, you won't. It is. I would like to know, though, how much naivete he had, how much he didn't anticipate he was going to be up against with regards to the deep state and these people that he stocked his own administration with these retreads from neocon Bush administration. So, I mean, you know, you would think that he would know. I do believe that the animosity between Trump and the establishment is real. I do believe that that's real. I do believe he would probably like to cause them discomfort. I don't know. I have heard that two of his biggest problems will not be in a hypothetical Trump administration in the future, and that would be Ivanka and Jared Kushner, that would certainly be a step in the right direction. But yeah, I mean, the default position is you're probably going to get more of the same past as prologue in most cases. However, my interest in Trump is I think he just further splits things up, and that's what we need.
I've got to have a real candidate run on a third party and see if we can't get some traction like the Ross Perot Pat Buchanan days, because that's our only hope to at least vote for an honest man.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen after the fall, Sam. I think after this whole thing breaks apart and perhaps we can reconstitute a nation in God's image, maybe then you get honest people again. Until then, we just have to hope that we can separate as peacefully as possible, because I just think reconciliation is probably off the table. And I don't know if I'd want to be reconciled with people who hate me and want me dead and want to kill God and send my kids to hell. I just don't know.
Would you vote for the Donald again?
You know, I addressed this on the show last Saturday. I did vote for him twice. Both times it was sort of last-minute decisions. I was more glad to have voted for him for the first time. I needed to, at one point in my life, vote for somebody who actually won. So I wanted to say I voted for a winner one time, and I did. Second time, I did go ahead and vote for him. I have said in the past I wouldn't, but now I think I would, just because I just think he's so chaotic. It just further, he has caused the left to make so many mistakes and so many overreactions. Their opinion of who he is versus what he actually is and what he can actually do. I mean, he's obviously not a Nazi. He's obviously not all of these things that they say, but they believe it. I think at least some of them do believe it, and they have overreacted to push this critical race and trans and Black Lives Matter burning down cities. And I think, you know, that has opened the eyes to a lot of people. And it is because of that overreaction that was prompted by Trump himself that the Republican base is starting to catch up with us. And that's where we need him to be. And if he helps facilitate that,
right,
even inadvertently.
You're right on many of those points, ladies and gentlemen. We're flat out of time. But I will say this, though. For me, I need to vote for an honest, moral person. I will vote for no other. Help me find that person, will you please? For James Edwards and Sam Bushman, we need your financial support. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, share the love. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.